verse 17. The last commandment condemns covetousness. Every selfish desire, every degree of discontent, every act of overreaching, every self-gratification working to the strengthening and developing of a character which will destroy the Christ-likeness of a human agent and close the gate of the city of God against him. When angels come to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation and witness the exhibition of selfishness, of covetousness, of overreaching, and the benefiting self as others, at others' disadvantage, they turn away in grief. In no way could the Lord be glorified and the truth more highly honored than for unbelievers to see that the truth was wrought a great and good work upon the lives of naturally covetous and pernicious men. If it could be seen that the faith of such had an influence to mold their character, to change them from close, selfish, overreaching, money-loving men to men who love to do good, who seek opportunities to use their means to bless those who need to be blessed, who visit the widow and fatherless in their affliction, and who keep themselves unspotted from the world, it would be an evidence that their religion was genuine. Those who profess to be waiting and watching for the appearing of their Lord should not disgrace their profession by bantering and deal and standing for the last penny. Such fruit does not grow upon the Christian tree. The 10th commandment strikes at the very root of all sins, prohibiting the selfish desire from which springs the selfish act. He who in obedience to God's law refrained from indulging even a sinful desire for that which belongs to another will not be guilty of an act of wrong towards his fellow creatures.
Once again, we're most grateful everyone today we are living today, living in your divine grace and in your power. Today we pray for our listeners and those who are sick among us, and those who, Father, are searching for you through the Holy Scriptures, that they continue to search for you. You have promised that they will find you if they search for you with all their hearts. So today, Father, we pray for a double portion of your Holy Spirit upon our lives and upon the lives of our listeners, and that your healing of power continue to rest upon us all. Be a comfort to those who have lost their loved ones. And Father, when all is said and done, we pray that we'll be able to meet you with joy and gladness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministries. We want to say a welcome to our regular listening audience and a special welcome to those of you who might be listening to Turning Point for the first time. If you have any questions or comments, or if you want us to speak to you or come and see you, please give us a call at 322-6273. Or you can write us at P.O. Box N8993. Or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com. Or you can visit our website, where we have articles written by Brother Paul and by Brother Henry, and we have links to other websites that we find very interesting and informative in our study of the scriptures. We also have some health tips and health lectures done by Marlene McKinney. Also on our website, you will find the email address of all the persons here and Mrs. McKinney. If you want to reach us personally and you want any questions answered or anything that you want done, we'll be happy to try to assist you as much as possible. Before we get into our topic this afternoon, Thou Shalt Not Covet, we are going to ask Brother Paul to give us an update on those things that he's come across in the newspaper that might have some spiritual significance. Brother Paul.
Thank you much, Brother Julian. Good afternoon once again, Bahamas. From the newspaper articles this week, one of the things that stand out this week is, according to The Guardian, December 15th, that's Friday's Guardian, it says that 4 killed in a week because violence are sparking so high, they say this could spoil the holiday season. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's always a holiday season once you're in Jesus Christ. I don't know why we have to wait until the so-called Christmas, in quotes, that we have to celebrate the bread of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The sad part about this, ladies and gentlemen, is two of these people that were killed over the past week, two of them were my neighbors. The young man that just died on the other night at the junk crew practice, Mr. Kevin Dane, 27 years old from Kwaku Street, he was the murderer number 54 for the country for this year, surpassing that which it was last year. Also, the young lady that was found dead, part of her body partly burned, the 18-year-old Lacey Rowe. I'd like for you to pray for these family members that they will continue to be comforted in this time, and all other family members who lost their loved ones, especially the young man who they found burned to death in the van the other night. And then the former police officer that was shot down, who was brought home by three young men, they robbed him, they tried to rob him, and in the end they killed him. So we'd like to pray for all these families in this time of their bereavement, that the Lord will be a comfort and hope to them in this time of this tragic incident in their family lives. Then also coming from the Tribune on Friday, December 15th, under the headline, Sea Hall of Death Threats. where the victims from this Seahawla accident claims that to have received warning since campaigning to the government for compensation because they weren't able to get any funds collected from those who were responsible for this tragic incident that took place. Which is a sad thing, ladies and gentlemen, that our country has come to a point where people are trying to figure out how can they go about getting compensated for things that are due to them, because the court did find all the parties involved guilty. But today, they have to go to the guard, to the tribune, to make the public aware that they're being threatened to death by so-called callers who are threatening that they must back off, must stay away from this, because this is much more deeper than they think. Well, ladies, we need to pray for our nation, because definitely our nation is going in the same direction where God said it would be. But if you listen to the popular ministers, they say it's going to get better. Well, ladies, I'm still waiting to see that happen. As a matter of fact, our policemen, every time I turn on the news, they're getting some new equipment, some new this, some new that. Prayer meetings all over the place, but still we're going down, down, down. Could it be because we have rejected the word of the Lord? Well, that's exactly what it is. Hosea 4:6 said, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And because they have rejected knowledge, Christ said, there will be no priest unto me. Because thou forgetting the Lord thy God, I would also forget your children. But most of the popular ministry, again, will tell you the law was nailed to the cross. Well, how fortunate if any of these same ministers have tragedy, they'll call for the police. Think on these things as we continue this program today.
Thank you very much, Brother Paul. Like I said at the beginning, we will be dealing with the subject, Thou Shall Not Covet. My first question to the panelists, you want to say something? Our first question to the panelists this afternoon would be, what does it mean to covet?
Well, if you look at the dictionary definition for the word covet, Webster's dictionary defines covet as to desire that which belongs to another, whether it's inordinately or culpably. So in a nutshell, it means a person's mental desire for something that doesn't belong to himself, something that belongs to another individual.
Well, what I like to say on that, Brother Jordan, is there was a time if you wanted to know what the word covet means, you really had to look to the world to see what coveting is all about. But sad to say, even the so-called Church of Jesus Christ is coveting those things that are of the world. So if you really want to see an example of it, lady, just compare the two. Some of the same thing you see happening in the world are now happening in the Church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Can you believe it? We are right on the brink of eternity, and Christian people, in quotes, are now coveting those things that the world once loved.
And you know, when we go back to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 17, it really expands what the dictionary says. You know, it expands on it. It says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. So really in a nutshell, coveting is really a strong desire for something that belongs to someone else, where you want it to a point where you're really, really willing to go out and spare no means, no expense to get it.
But is desiring something at someone's, or desiring something, a good thing or a bad thing? Is it evil to desire something?
No, it's not evil to desire something. And as a matter of fact, desire in itself is not wrong. A young man or young woman may desire a spouse, you know, someone to be married to. A young couple may desire to own their own home. Believers, you know, they desire to give back to the Lord by through their talents and time, etc. So desire in itself is not a bad thing. As a matter of fact, in the spiritual sense, when we go to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, the problem is when that desire turns into covetousness. You know, when we desire something to such an extent that it becomes wrong, that it's harmful, that we're willing to do anything to get it. When we desire to go after something that does not belong to us, then that's when desire takes a turn for the worse and it becomes evil.
Brother Paul, you mentioned the fact earlier in our conversation that the church is now desiring certain things that we say that the world has. I want to go through a few things and get your comment on those things. The first thing I hear is dancing. Is the church coveting dancing today? And is dancing wrong?
Yes, it is, Brother Jones. As a matter of fact, if you want a good, actually, the first event the Bible talks about God's children dancing is in the chapter of Exodus chapter 32. When you read that whole chapter, you'll see that when Moses came up the mountaintop receiving the Ten Commandments from God himself, written on tables of stone with the finger of God, he met them in such a frenzy that the Bible says they were the people that came to the point where they were naked. That's Exodus chapter 32, verse 25. They were naked, they were dancing so much, and they got angry. Moses waxed hot, the Bible says, and he break up the commandments of God, and God had to rewrite those commandments all over again. But it's sad to say there was a time when if you wanted to see dancing, we had to go to the former Lee Cabaret Theater, or the Junkanoo, or Kombe Summer, but now it's sad to say those things are now in the church, and no one is saying anything about it. As a matter of fact, there's only one minister on the record that I know is saying that this dancing is getting a little bit out of hand, especially in the area of our junior Junkanoo area, and that's Bishop Gomez. That's the only minister I know on the record. Everyone else, like, their lips are zipped up. You know what I mean? And I tell you, flesh and blood did not have Bishop Gomez said, the Holy Ghost of God had Bishop Gomez led the nation. But this is getting out of control. It just hurts my heart that when you turn on the TV, you see our young girls in their leotards spinning around in the church, entertaining the men. Could it be these men have their eyes fixed on the wrong thing? And by the way, where are the mothers and the fathers and also the wives of these ministers who allow this thing to be conducted in the so-called presence of God? And I believe that God is a small G-O-D, because there's no way the capital G-O-D would allow such a thing. Because if he had approved of it, then he would have no right. He would have rebuked Moses for breaking up the commandments, but he did not. Or he told Moses that, go get me a new set of stones, and I'll write the commandments all over again.
Brother Paul, you talk about dancing. If you wanted to dance, you had to go to the Le Cabaret or Junkanoo. I also noticed that some of the music, some of the types of music, the rap music, the reggae, rake and scrape, Junkanoo. Is the church coveting that type of music?
Sure it is, Brother Julian. As a matter of fact, you know, some of the so-called gospel stations around here are loaded with this because they say they're trying to reach a cross-section of people. But the Bible is quite clear, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sow, that shall she also reap. As a matter of fact, I remember one night, me and Brother Renwick went to pay an eyewitness to see what this thing was really about, because I never experienced anything like this before in a Christian church. So we went by this particular church, and ladies and gentlemen, they were doing everything. Walga dance, slackness, I mean, gyrating on the pulpit and talking all sorts of stuff, and all in the name of Jesus Christ. And all the while, ladies and gentlemen, our young girls and our young men were being stimulated as this thing began to go on. There's a famous bishop around here, they call him the singer, whatever they call him, and, you know, he has this thing on. As a matter of fact, he's invited all over the place to do his thing. Well, that thing is not of God, ladies and gentlemen. Just say the scriptures. Nowhere in the Bible used to be God's disciple and himself went through going reggae, rake and scrape and junk and all these sorts of stuff. These things are of the devil. As a matter of fact, the Bible is quite clear. Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For what is the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life is not of the world, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And those who enjoy those things shall be lost at the end of time. For what is happening? You read that in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. Is these sects still abiding today? Sure they are. The Bible, Jesus said himself in Matthew chapter 15, I think that is, that heaven and earth shall pass before one jot of his word should be passed away. So let's go to the word. Let's see, examine these things. Let's put them on the microscope of the scriptures and see exactly what does the Lord have in store for us and for his people.
You know, I find it amazing that when I think back when a lot of this secular music came into the church, secular types of music, like you mentioned, Brother Paul, the reggae and the rap and even the calypso now. I remember when it sort of first began, and it was at a certain level, but now it's become so commonplace. And like you said, the church has imitated the world in so many respects that not only has the music come in, but now also the award ceremonies for the music has also come in. I mean, the same way that you have award ceremonies in the world for particular artists or particular popular songs, it's the exact same thing in the church, and you have to wonder why. What's the purpose of all this stuff?
Well, the purpose of Brother Renwick is the fulfillment of God's scripture. The Bible says Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light, and there's no great thing that he can make his ministers appear ministers of righteousness. Then Paul, the apostle, said, the God of this world have blinded their eyes. See, these things are spiritually discerned, ladies and gentlemen. You must ask for the Spirit of God to put his Spirit within you. If not, without his Spirit, you will not be able to know what's going on. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 5, verse 32, the Bible says, we are here to be witnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. So when you're doing all these gyrations, and when you're doing all these rap and gospel music under the theme of Junkanoo, is the Spirit of God truly in you? Think on these things, ladies and gentlemen. Think. Go to the scriptures and see, especially the New Testament, and see what the Christian church was about then. The Bible says These brothers were so endowed with the Holy Ghost, the dead was coming back to life. They were healing the sick, the lame, and everything. But those things are not happening today. And most of the men who claim that they're doing these faith healings, and I'll tell you now, the reason why you're sick is because you're not eating right. Could it be they realize that they've been telling you a lie, that you can eat whatever you want to eat, and the result now is chaos, and they realize that the sick rate is climbing so high, the only way they can now try to heal the people the correct way is by them eating the things that are right.
But Paul, with this music thing, I got to ask one more question probably in that area. Could it be that this music that the church is using now is because it is culturally relevant, that they want to appeal to the music that the people like? If Jesus listened this time, I've heard them say that Jesus would be listening to rap and reggae and rake and scrape and junkanoo. What do you have to say on that?
Well, I guess the scripture is torn out of the Bible, the guys, you must sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's one a lot of ministers like to quote. Well, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs have nothing to do with rake and scrape and reggae and rap. As a matter of fact, the Bible says you must preach the word, not rap the word. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the young people need the Holy Ghost. These young people are not stupid. Most of these young people, ladies and gentlemen, who are involved in these things have not a clue what Christianity is all about. As a matter of fact, God forbid I have to say this, some of the ministers don't even have a clue what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. Because surely if they did, they would be on their knees, they would be on slack-clawed gnashes like the prophets of old, pleading for the Holy Ghost of God to fall upon them, pleading for the Holy Ghost of God to fall upon their members. But what is happening? They're trying to whine and dine. One the other day I met a young lady, she rented one of our popular churches here in the Bahamas for $1,500 to have a function at the church to do some drama out. Do you believe that? Ministers of the gospel renting the sanctuary of God for drama with gunshots and all sorts of stuff like this. Surely they have turned the house of God into a den of thieves, ladies and gentlemen, but no one is saying anything because these ministers, quote-unquote, are popular. Well, believe it or not, they're going to give an account for their influence. So much, the Bible says that if they being blind lead the blind, both should fall into the ditch. Matthew chapter 15, verse 14. That's the sad part about it. It'll be okay if just the minister and his wife and his children go to hell. But even the members who just go along with the flow and who don't raise up their hand and say, rebuke this foolishness that is going on in the church of God, those members too will find themselves outside the kingdom of God. They'll be the ones who will cry in that day, Lord, Lord, but have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not did this in your name? And then the sad reality, Jesus, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
Brother Paul, one thing I've seen happen in the church since I've been, and when I was a young boy, you never saw these two things. Referring to the pastor's wife as first ladies. Or having beauty pageant. I always thought that the first lady referred to the president of the United States wife. I mean, that's where I first heard it, as far as I can remember. Again, is the church again trying to allow the word to infiltrate itself into the back into the church through these men?
And it's not just a beauty pageant, it's outright competition.
you see, you use that word trying, no, Brother Julian. They're not trying. They're doing this, Brother Julian. As a matter of fact, I just read this in the paper this week. As a matter of fact, what made me bring this up is that when I read the paper from BFM, Bahamas Faith Ministries, they were clowning around how they had this drama and all this bunch of stuff going on. And the first lady was Pastor Miles Monroe's wife. She was the first lady, like so many other first ladies around here. But ladies and gentlemen, you know, the apostle, it's quite clear in the book of Acts. Then Peter speaking here, when Peter opened his mouth, he said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteous is accepted by him, or respected, or accepted with him. Ladies and gentlemen, God is no respecter of persons. The Bible says, who much is given, much is required. And the sad part about it, if they are truly first ladies, Jeremiah 4:30 have a rebuke for these first ladies, because all of them are guilty. Just about, I should say, let's say 99% are guilty of what I'm going to quote right now. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 30. And when thou art spoiled, what will thou do? Do thy clothes thyself with crimson? Do thy deckest thyself with ornaments of gold? Do thy rendest thy face with pinions? In vain shall I make thyself fail. And thy lovers shall despise thee, and they shall seek their life. Every one of them sound guilty, ladies and gentlemen. And the Jeremiah the prophet said, they are spoiled. But when they put these stuff on, the world say they are beautiful. As Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 30 said, every woman on the planet earth who put on crimson simply means red, lipstick, jewelry, painting up their faces. Matter of fact, these ladies even went beyond that. They're putting weave in their hair. One lady's on the record saying that they went to a woman's meeting retreat. And those ladies who didn't have nails, they came back with nails. Those who didn't have hair, they came back with hair. Those who didn't have, they bought all these. That's why now even ministers' wives, God forbid, I hope we're not putting on false breasts and all these sorts of stuff. They're covering the world, ladies and gentlemen, while the Church of God is dying for the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. The time has come, ladies and gentlemen, for us to rebuke these ministers. And if they don't care to change, leave them by themselves. As a matter of fact, the Bible says we should not keep company with fornicators. Remember in our program when we did the thing with fornicating, you could commit spiritual adultery. The apostle Paul is quite clear. You should not keep company with fornicators. And he's saying that for a whole lot of things. You see, our children are looking on to these things, like this fashion parade that is going on. When they see the pastor's wife, the so-called first lady, conducting herself like this, what do you think your darling little girl would want to do? And the way some of the pastors, even some of these men are dressing like women. These are some of the so-called bishops. They imitate the women so much, they want to wear robes now. They want to look just like women. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, let's stop making the gospel as appear as it don't have no power. Because the gospel is power, and if it is power, please, by all means, allow it to transform your life.
You know, this topic of coveting is quite a heavy one. And when you start to look at it and examine it, I mean, we see where it's seeping into all areas of the church. I mean, from the very top of this discussion we've had this evening, you know, the worldly music has come in. You know, the worldly competitions have come in. You know, now the church wants to have the same type of competitions that the world have. They want to have the same type of award ceremonies that the world has. They desire the same type of praise and honor that the world has. And it's totally contrary to the word of God.
The sad part about this is, I wonder if 1 Peter 2:9-12. Those based on our conduct who are not Christians, when they look on, do they see Jesus Christ? When they look on, do their lives portray that of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? I say not, ladies and gentlemen. So the Bible says our conversation, our conduct will be holy among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as an evildoer. And believe me, friends, I could bring some people in this truth who will tell you that they speak about these things as you as an evildoer. And they have all the right, because you're going contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of his visitation. But are we truly glorifying God, ladies and gentlemen, based on our conduct? Think about these things, ladies and gentlemen. Time is surely running out, and the devil is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
Panelists, where did this covetousness come from? Where did it begin?
Well, I mean, there are two answers to that question, because there's the literal origin of it, and then there's the question for every individual. You know, when that nature is displayed, we have to ask ourselves, well, where is this coming from? You know, and the scripture tells us that when we display covetousness, that this is coming from our fleshly nature, from the carnality of our hearts and our minds. And as a matter of fact, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2 and 3 says, wherein time past ye walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past. Now the apostle Paul is speaking of the state, the human state before we became converted, before the person accepts Christ and the conversion takes place in the heart. So he goes on to say, among whom also we had our conversations in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and whereby the children of wrath, even as others. So when we display this covetousness individually, it comes from our sinful nature, from the carnality of our hearts, the desires of our flesh and our minds.
But Julian, it began with Lucifer himself. We must realize in Isaiah chapter 13, the devil is quite clear. When the question is asked, how would thou fall from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How would thou cast down to the ground with weakens the nation? He is still weakening the nation today, even weakening the church of God. For thou say in thine heart, I will ascend into the heart. I will exalt my throne upon the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation. I will sit in the side of the north. I will ascend above the height of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. The key thing here, the key thing is worship. Are you going to worship the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul? Or are you going to worship the devil with all thy heart and with all thy soul? There's no middle ground. And no wonder Jesus sent a strong rebuke to the religious leaders in this day. And the question he asked them in John chapter 8, verse 43. Why is it you don't understand my speech, said the lovely Jesus? Even because thou cannot hear my words? And Jesus tell him in straight language, ye of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abhorred not the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speak a lie, he speak of his own. For he is a liar, and he is the father of it. And here we are today, over 2,000 years ago, when Christ quoted these words, the devil is at work again, realizing he has a short time. And later he's working overtime, as you see the things that are going on in the Christian church that Christ paid an ultimate price for on Calvary's cross.
You know, the Bible tells us that Lucifer was created as one of the glorious covering cherub that covered the throne of God. But we see here the prophet Isaiah reveals that, you know, this wasn't enough for him, that he reached out and he said, listen, I want this. I want to be above God. I want my throne to be exalted above the stars. I want to sit above the clouds, and so on and so forth. So this is covetousness in its original form. It originated with Lucifer, where all sin has originated.
Again, we don't have enough time to finish We Shall Not Covet, so we will continue next week with the same topic.
Let us pray. Most gracious and kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to speak your word of truth to your nation, to the nation, O Lord, and to read from your Holy Scriptures. And we pray that the Holy Spirit would once again go forth to lead and guide everyone in the sound of our voice to all truth and in all things, and may you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Once again, if you care to reach us for any means for us to visit you, or maybe because you're hurt or sick, or you just need someone, just come by and talk with you, feel free to give us a call at 322-6273. That's 322-6273. Until next week, may the peace of God be with your family. This is Paul Miller.
I'm Renrick Book.
And this is Julian Miller. May God richly bless you.
AM 1540, setting as one, the national voice. That was a program, Turning Point, presented by Turning Point Ministries.